I've spent quite a bit of time with you over here, and so has Shannon Clark. Today being the 25th, if not the 26th episode of Wealth Wednesdays already. And wow, we have certainly learned a lot in this year. Shan, taking it back to the discussion of last week, we are on part three and the final part of Medical Schemes Explained. Do you see? I've got it down to a T now. Not medical aid anymore, medical schemes, if you did not know. And today we wrap up by chatting about gap cover.
Correct, yeah. And yes, let's just remind ourselves where we started and why we ended up at this point. We are looking to gain financial freedom. By that, what we mean is we want to get to a point where our assets grow to a point that the income that we derive from our investment assets exceeds our expenses.
Yes.
We want to avoid risks. One of the risks that we have is the permanent loss of capital.
Mm-hmm.
A major medical event could cause us to go and dip into our invested assets.
Yes.
And cause a permanent loss of capital. So therefore, we assure those risks. How do we assure those risks? Via medical aids.
Mm-hmm.
Medical schemes.
Medical schemes.
Right, correct.
So essentially, it is a form of insurance.
It's a form of insurance to ensure that we don't deplete our investment assets. Taking that conversation further, why are we at this point at this time of the year? We're at this point because going into the new year, members of medical schemes can change their plan benefits free of any underwriting.
Right.
So you can upgrade your plans or downgrade your plans. Okay.
Within the same scheme.
Within the same scheme. Free of any medical underwriting. And that happens on the 1st of January. So we have this window period now where people can review their plans and decide what they want to do about it and whether they want to change their plans. And we've discussed the options and the pros and cons of the various plans. Last week we mentioned network options whereby you join a plan that you have to go to a prescribed network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one way of reducing your premiums.
We also expanded on a major medical benefit, which most people will know as a hospital plan.
Correct, correct. So that's another way of reducing the premiums you pay. Another way of reducing the premiums you pay is looking at plans where there are potential co-payments. Okay. And another way of looking at reducing your premiums is looking at plans where they only cover at 100% of medical scheme tariff, where some plans might cover at 200% of medical scheme tariff or 300% of medical scheme tariff.
And the reason that you want to look at reducing that premium and getting the most cover for the premium you're paying is obviously because this needs to fit into your holistic financial plan, and you need to not necessarily be overinsured if that can ever happen on medical aid, but you don't want to be paying for chronic benefits, for example, if you don't even need them.
Yes, but remember, chronic benefits are always there.
Yeah.
But yes, they can change in how they're paid from plan to plan, but you're correct. But it's all about finding or matching the amount of cover at the level of risk you are prepared to take on.
Yeah.
And as a younger, healthier person, the likelihood of an adverse medical event is less, so therefore you can perhaps take a little more risk. So, yeah, that is pretty much it in a nutshell. But now, taking into account the potentials where people do go onto a lower plan where the tariff payout is at 100% of tariff, and knowing that medical professionals are unregulated, they can charge what they want. So people protect themselves from that by taking out additional cover, which is called medical gap cover. Enter gap cover. And I really want to expand on what gap cover is and what it isn't. Okay, and people really need to understand what they do have. If you have gap cover, yes, you have reduced the risks to a degree, but you haven't covered all bases and there still can be shortfalls. So let's just expand on what medical gap cover is. Medical gap cover is a short-term insurance product.
Okay.
That provides additional cover for valid shortfalls for members of medical schemes.
There's a few keywords in that sentence over there.
Absolutely. So it's short-term insurance. It provides additional cover for valid shortfalls for members who are already members of a medical scheme.
So it's not going to replace the need for a medical scheme.
Absolutely. And this is one thing that people need to understand. Gap cover is there to complement a medical scheme, not to replace a medical scheme. You cannot be be, or you cannot have gap cover without being a member of a medical scheme.
Okay.
If you, for example, are a member of a medical scheme and you are on gap cover, and for some reason you let your medical scheme lapse and you then want to put in a claim with gap cover, they're not going to pay the claim because you have to be a member of the medical scheme. Okay, and I'll expand on that going forward. So that's just what one needs to understand, is it is there to enhance the benefits of a medical scheme, not to replace them. Okay. One needs to scrutinize the benefits of the particular gap cover plan you're on to what level it pays out at.
Okay, because they vary, obviously.
Correct. So in other words, it's all about price and value. You might be on a plan that has a fairly low premium, but then will only cover for a shortfall at 200% of medical scheme tariff.
Leaving you with however many percentages the difference of what the doctor's charging.
Correct. The doctor could charge 500%, so then there is still an additional 300% that you have to self-fund. You could be then on a plan that covers at 500% of scheme tariff, which would then pay the shortfall. But again, one needs to be aware with gap cover, there is an annual overall limit that applies to all gap cover plans, irrespective of the plan that you're on, and that is for 2023 year, 185,000 rand. So a gap cover insurance scheme cannot pay for more than 185,000 rand in cover for an individual in the scheme year.
And is that per member of the gap cover, or is that overall?
Per member.
Okay.
Per member. Okay. So if somebody is on a top plan that covers 500% of scheme tariff, but the bill comes in excess of that 185 limit, they can only pay up to the 185,000 rand limit.
But in that case, you would hope that your medical scheme, again, with medical scheme being the primary form of insurance, you would hope that that would cover the bulk.
Correct.
And then the gap cover in its role would come in as an accessory, as a complementary product, and just lessen that load. Because this is what it's about. It's about lessening that load and, again, bringing it back, looping it back to the beginning of the conversation, not having to dip into your investments.
Absolutely, yeah. And you used a word there that hits the nail on the head. Your medical scheme is your primary source of cover. Mm-hmm. And when one looks at your gap cover and your medical scheme, you must look at them in context together, how they are going to work together.
And then being a form of short-term insurance, what are the rules of engagement there? Is it the same as with the medical aid where you have to be accepted onto the gap cover? Are the prices, do they vary? Is that regulated?
Similar to how medical scheme works, gap cover, because now it's an insurance product, so they can effectively underwrite you.
Okay.
So as with a medical scheme, there will be a 3-month general waiting period for when you join the scheme, okay, when you can't put in claims. And again, there might be further conditions with other waiting periods, so it's important that you have a look at your plan. There will be 12-month condition-specific waiting periods for any condition that you currently have when you join the gap cover plan.
Okay.
But unlike medical schemes where they can charge only one premium irrespective of age, gap cover, your premium is determined by the oldest member on the plan.
Ah.
Now remember, when you are joining your gap cover, it's done as a family, and it's done in relation to your medical scheme.
Okay.
So the age of the oldest person on that plan will determine the price that the gap cover is priced at.
Sure. There's so many things that we've uncovered over here that, I mean, I've had gap cover for a long time, but I didn't understand or even know about half of the things that you have explained to me right here. Obviously, I hope, like most people, that it would kick in where it needs to, but it's so good to be aware of the limitations of perhaps how these things are charged so that you can work your way around this and plan for adversity. That's what financial planning is all about.
Correct. But what people must also not forget with gap cover is gap cover will only pay for valid claims that the medical scheme will pay for. In other words, if you try and put in a claim for an event that your medical scheme ordinarily will not pay for, gap cover is not going to pay for
it. So neither will gap cover.
So again, don't think of gap cover as that is going to enhance and add to other benefits that the medical scheme doesn't offer.
Yeah.
It only covers shortfalls that your medical scheme will cover ordinarily.
And then just before we wrap up this conversation on gap cover, there's one more question that I think is also, I know that we've encountered this before in our personal capacity. Gap cover, does it, is it required to, or does this differ from scheme to scheme, where they require you to pay first and they pay you back, or and where will the gap cover actually come in and make that payment on your behalf?
Okay, so the way gap cover works, you will submit your claim to the medical scheme. Once the medical scheme has settled the claim, you will then submit the claim to gap cover. Because when you submit the claim to gap cover, you submit it with the actual medical bill and you submit it with your claim statement from the medical scheme, and the gap cover will assess A, it's a valid claim, and B, that there is a shortfall. If there's no shortfall, they're not going to pay for anything.
Yes.
Okay. If it's not a valid claim, they're not going to pay for anything. Okay. So they will look at that claim statement, and if it's declined because it's not a valid claim,
yes,
in other words, that condition wasn't covered for whatever reason, gap cover is not going to pay for it.
But then still in that instance, if it is something that is accepted as, okay, it's valid, we will step in over here, is it the onus of the client to make the payments up front and then be reimbursed by their gap cover?
Absolutely, because remember, they're covering a shortfall.
Oh.
So in other words, the client, the procedure is already going to have to have been paid for.
Okay.
Then they're going to
reimburse. So you still need access to a certain amount of capital at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Sure. Shan, it's absolutely fascinating. This medical scheme discussion that has happened over 3 episodes, I feel, has been absolutely pivotal. And thank you for helping us unpack and understand this concept that we all need it. It can be a grudge payment at times, but hopefully having listened to these 3 episodes, you have a much firmer understanding of how to navigate this. And if you haven't listened to number 1 and 2 yet, head on over to the Radio Life and Style app. You'll find them on the podcast section as well as the recording of today's episode, because like Shan says, it's a window period, and by Jan 2023, you have to have made your mind up about how you'd like to have your medical scheme run the course of the year. Shan, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure. Next week, I guess we'll be wrapping up how to wrap up the year financially.
Yeah, we can look at that. Let's have a look and let's see. I've got perhaps some other ideas that I also want to chat about.
As always, an absolute pleasure. Have yourself a wonderful day, and of course, a year older as of yesterday. Happy birthday to you for yesterday, Shan.
Thanks, Leah. Appreciate it.
Headed back to the music now. It's Marabou State with the Guinness Luck.